Well, good morning. How are we? Is anyone better than good? Excellent. Have a seat. Everybody online, welcome. Great to have you in the house this morning. Who's ready for God to say something? I believe he's certainly got a word for us this morning. Just before I get into it, and this is our vision month, so we are, rather than just doing, you know, Vision Sunday on one Sunday, we're delving into it across the month and unpacking different areas of it. So it just enables us to engage with it a little bit more. So it's been good the way people have been going with that. So fantastic. Hey, just before I get into it, Grant, as you were talking about giving and inspiring offering talks, can I just share something with you from the last couple of weeks? So I was on the phone to Pastor Vivek in Nepal, who's a pastor there. For if you haven't been on the journey with us for a little while, Pastor Vivek oversees a number of churches in Nepal, and they're doing an amazing job there, planting churches in a region of the world where every time they plant a church, it actually uplifts and it empowers a whole community. It's an amazing thing that they do. And where they're based in a place called Napal Gunj, which is on the border of Nepal and India, it's basically right on the border. And they also have a children's home as part of their church and their ministry, and we've been building what we've been building our house here, this building here. Really, God encouraged me to say let's see if we can actually build the church and the community center in Napal Gunj while we're building this house. And it's amazing through your belief and generosity what we've been able to do to this point. And I was talking to Pastor Vivek, and we've been able to send them a bit more money for their building, and a lot of that goes back to our miracle offering that we had last year. And then he was telling me, he said, I just asked him about some other things, and he was telling me about their children's home. And he said, oh, we've actually lost some of the support we had there. There was some support coming from a connection in the US, and they were sort of up against it with that. And I just said, just leave that with me. I believe that we can help you out. And they needed to get over the next month. But I knew our church budget, and I know Leonie's face, and I knew we didn't have the money to put into that right at that point. And you know, I'm not super wealthy, despite what people have said about our house on the hill. And you know, I probably could have found the money, you know, one way or another. But I just had this sense that we're going to do this, and I didn't say anything to Leonie. I didn't say anything to the board about getting money from anywhere else. But a couple of weeks ago, I was speaking in another church, And when it finished, they said, "Look, we just want to bless you. We want to bless the church. We want to sow into what you guys are doing." And they gave an amount of money that was much more than I would have expected or anticipated in any way. And he just said, "Look, just do what you like with it." And what it meant though was straight away I was actually able, without having to call on anybody or push things one way or another, I was able to put that money or straight into that children's home in Nepal, because God will provide. It was like I had a sense, yep, he's going to do something here, and I set about praying about it, and I set about, I made a commitment. I said, yeah, we'll see what we can do. We'll sow into that. And then, you know, the thing about it is, When you have a conviction, when you believe a God thing and you step out and you say you're going to do something about it, it's not like, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to. It's a bit like, no, I've got conviction about that. It's amazing how many times God follows through on our conviction. He actually follows through on your faith. He follows through on the fact that you have vision And he will actually resource vision. He will resource vision. So whether that's us as a church, whether that's what we're seeing for a community, whether that's what you're believing for your family or situation right now. And I believe there'll be people here this morning as we share and we talk about some of the things that God is leading us into, and you're thinking, now, well, in my family, I've just got to get through the week. I've just got to deal with this cost of living. I've just got to pay the hydro bill, or I've just got to get through that. I get it. That is a real thing. It is absolutely a real thing at the moment. But my encouragement is, have a vision. Have a vision for your life. Have a vision for what you're called to do that is not just about paying the next bill. It's not just about getting by. It's about the fact that God has called you to be part of something bigger than just getting by. He's called you to be someone who makes a difference wherever you are, in your community, in your family. And when we start to get a vision for that, when we start to get conviction for that, you will be amazed at how the resource follows as you get a conviction for what God has called you into. We've been called to be a lighthouse church. And I've been sharing over the last couple of weeks about my time on the beach at Macquarie Heads on our west coast, and sitting there and looking at this little shipping channel known as Hell's Gates. And I'm there at 1 o'clock in the morning, just me on this massive expanse of beach, and looking across at that and just, you know, imagining it. And God really spoke to me, and he said, Dave, I need you to go back. I need you to go back to things that have been prophesied and spoken over this church. I need you to grab hold of those things. He said, you have been called a lighthouse church. And as I sat there and saw these two lighthouses either side of Hell's Gates, you know, the irony wasn't lost on me. And we have actually been called to be a church that actually shines the light of Jesus Christ across our city, across our region, across this suburb, across the state of Tasmania, the areas we're working in, Nepal, and things that we're believing for in the Philippines and beyond. We are called to be a lighthouse church. And how does that work? Well, Jesus said, you. Not me as pastor, or not, you know, Alex or Elizabeth or Leonie or Chris or Grant, not just people that are seen. He said, you are the church, you are my disciples, and you are light. Not try and be, not if you get it together, not if you start doing enough good things, not if you read the Bible long enough, not if you do enough courses. No. When the Spirit of God comes in through into your life at salvation, there is a transformation that takes place and you become light. And then he says, well, what are you going to do with that light? Are you going to walk around with a blanket over your head so that you hide the light and nobody sees it? Are you going to put that light down in the valley so that it's not seen? He says, no. He says, what I want you to do is I want you to remove the bowl. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a bowl. No, you actually, you make it clear. You make the way so it can be seen. And you put the light on the hill in a strategic location and position. And that's talking about your life and the way that you position yourself. When you get a vision for your life, you are actually strategically placing yourself on a hill. And we're called to be that as a church. Here we are in a very central suburb of our city. Here we are at the gateway to the northern suburbs. Here we are at a time and a place. Grant talked about the fact that he remembered Woke this morning, but it reminds us that we are here strategically at a time where society is changing in incredible ways, and we are called to be light. The vision we carry as a church is large and it's small. Our mandate starts with the individual, but it extends beyond our city and boundaries. Our mandate starts with the individual. See, every person, and it's already been said this morning, is created in the image of God. There's no one in here that's a half job. There's nobody here that was created at 3:30 on a Friday afternoon, just before beer o'clock. There was nobody that was created like that. Every person was actually seen and created in the mind and the image of God before the creation of time, before Australia ever thought about beer o'clock. Every person is created unique. Every person is of immense value to God and to what you're called to do. But Jesus also taught about the value of the one in the midst of the big numbers. He shared the parable about leaving the 99 sheep to find the one that was missing. And here in Australia, that's sort of a funny concept, isn't it? Because we don't tend to have shepherds. We put our sheep in a paddock, and you know, we go and check and see how they're there, or we have these massive areas in central Australia and northern Queensland and Western Australia and that sort of thing. You know, these big stations. When you know they muster the cattle, you know that they bring him back in across hundreds of kilometres in some cases, and you know you just can't imagine that finally they get them there, that the stock are all ready to be loaded on a cattle truck to wherever they've got to go to, and they count them as they go in, and the station owner says, "Oh, we've got one missing. We're going to get the helicopters out, and we're going to go out there, and we're going to find that one." It's a bit of a foreign concept to us. But Jesus, speaking into a rural community where they valued every single lamb, every single one, and he said, "You are that important to God." He said, there might be a whole lot of people in the pen, if you like, but he's going to go after the one. But he also said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples." So we are called to a vision that's small, it's the value of the one, but it's large in that the vision is incredibly large. Being called to be a lighthouse church means being a beacon of hope, and it means that we shine the light in the world. And the key verse here, and I've already spoken into it, so I won't say any more, but Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A town on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it under a stand that gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father." Now, here's the challenge. Here's the challenge. This is the bit that we've got to get hold of right now. In John 3:19 to 21, it says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, and it's talking about Jesus coming into the world, and Grant gave us that picture in communion this morning. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear their deeds will be exposed. Yep. Who relates to that? As a little kid, when you did something stupid or something you knew was wrong, who remembers hiding from their parents? You know, under the bed or in the cupboard or in that dark place, because you didn't want what had happened to be exposed. But who remembers that actually when you were found, and you might have got into some trouble, but after that, there was actually a release because it's lifted from you. You're not carrying that anymore. And the problem we've got as society is that while we are in the dark, it's actually a scary thing to come into the light. That's why us people who are called light, when we go and start Bible bashing somebody, like if we are to go out and stand on the streets of Moona and start saying things like, the wages of sin is death. And all you sinners walking up and down that street are going to hell. Now, is that true? It's true. But how are people going to respond to that? What they're going to do is that they're going to want to continue to retreat to their darkness. But we're actually called to be light. We've got to break through that darkness. And it's obviously the love of Jesus that breaks through. Yes, it's truth with the grace of God that actually breaks through. But why is it such a challenge? Well, if you're living in the darkness, well, first of all, you're living in avoidance, aren't you? Who knows that? Who's ever put off going to the dentist? Like for, you know, quite a period of time. And it's this avoidance. It's like, yeah, I know when I go there, there's going to be some pain. So you put it off. And so many people, they actually want the light. They actually want to be released, but there is this avoidance. So what do? Well, we avoid facing the truth. We avoid coming into the light. We actually avoid coming to the places that will actually lift that from us, and we stay in that place. And how do we do that? Well, we cover up, don't we? The very first original sin, if you like, when Adam and Eve, you know, they muck up and they eat from the tree that they were asked not to, and God comes down into the garden to connect with them, and he can't find them. They've run away. He says, where are you? What are you doing? Why are you hiding? They said, oh, we're naked. And they felt this shame and wanted to cover up. There's so much of our society that wants to cover up. And we can actually feel annoyed with society, or we can feel all sorts of things, but we've actually got to get a heart for bringing light that lifts guilt. Because society is covering up, it's anethicizing, it's a hard word to say, isn't it? Anethicizing pain. Avoidance, covering up. You know, we do it in all sorts of ways. We do it with booze, we do it with drugs, we even do it with gym. Even cycling, you know. Now we will bring things in to our world to actually cover up what is pain, and we want to cover it up. And we've got a society that is absolutely going crazy with this at the moment. I read a thing in the Mercury this week, and they've done all those. You know how they do that? They do sewage tests to find out what drugs we're taking. So they gave a report right around Australia, and they said, oh, yeah, Sydney's the cocaine capital and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And Hobart actually has pretty high rate. Yeah. Fentanyl, isn't it? Has a very high rate of that. So there's a whole lot of our society that are continuing to anesthetize the pain. And what are we called to be? Called to be light. Denial's the other one. Denial. Nah, that's not true. Couldn't be. Denial. Who watched the movie Kenny? Yeah. Kenny, this crazy Australian sewerage plumber, basically, running a mobile toilet business. having problems with his child, and his wife calls him and he says, you know, this boy needs a bit more religion in his life. And he says, well, he said, if Jesus Christ comes down here and introduces himself to me, well, I'll address it. I'll talk about it. And it's like this denial that people live in, because it's actually too hard. We park it and we make jokes and we go there. Now, I'm just giving you a picture. Some of us have been there. That's our society. And we can say, oh, yeah, the thing is, we actually have the light, but we actually need a spiritual light that actually penetrates those things. You see, the love of Jesus will actually come in under the cover of some of those things, and it will actually lift those things that cover up, that want to be substitute, that want to cover up the truth, and want to stop a society living in a constant state of being anesthetized. That's why, when we're light, we're actually told to pray that the Spirit of God would actually remove the veil from people's eyes. But there are moments, there are seasons where it becomes too hard to keep avoiding. Covering up. You don't have the money anymore to buy the booze each week. You don't have the money anymore to buy the drugs. You don't have the money anymore to buy that next toy, that fast car, that midlife crisis, that new caravan, whatever it is, that thing that continues to cover up. And I believe right now, this is what I'm saying, this is what we've got to be ready for. I've not been a prophet of doom. I'm just saying that there's some stuff going on that's a bit hard at the moment. And I believe we need to be ready to shine the light, because people are becoming more and more ready to receive. They mightn't feel it, they mightn't know it, but right now we're coming into a season where some of those things are going to be taken away. And the love of God is going to start to flow into our community and our society. And how's it going to do that? It's going to do that through you, because you are light. You are light. You're going to speak words of life to someone that's battling with those things. You're going to speak words of life when all seems lost. So let's not be complaining all the time about interest rates and inflation. That'll run its course. But what's the Spirit of God doing in this season? The Spirit of God is getting people ready to receive. Are we ready to give? Are we ready to be light? Come on, let's light up Moona, let's light up Hobart, let's light up Tasmania. So what's our strategy for that? Well, if we had Nick Stephen here, Grant, we'd have a Venn diagram. But it's reach, gather, grow. So if you can see on the screen there, reach, gather, grow. That's what, you know, I've talked emotively about what's happening, but you know, Jesus had a strategy. Jesus came into the world to die for the sin of humanity, and it didn't matter what happened. There were all sorts of things that happened along the way. There were, you know, people wanting him to heal, but he would heal people, and then he could have kept staying in a place, but he said, no, we've actually got to keep moving because I've got an appointment in Jerusalem and I need to be there at the right time to actually die for the sin of the world. And sometimes we actually get distracted, even by the need, even by the stuff, and we've got to have a strategy, and we've got to be called to a vision that we're going to, regardless of what's going on around us. I mean, we continue to be compassionate, well, because Jesus kept healing people along the way. And he actually had time for people on the way, but it didn't stop him going where he was called to go. So we want to reach, gather and grow. We want to reach our community, reach our friends, reach our families. Let the light of Jesus shine in the darkness. I've just talked about what that looks like, but we'll unpack that a little bit more. You know, we've got to continue to gather. And if there's one thing that the last couple of years has put on steroids, it's tried to separate people, hasn't it? Tried to separate people. I can see our friends Lewis and Natalia there have got a family reunification going on there. They've actually got family from Colombia. You know, isn't that cool? But you know, the last couple of years has just separated people. And when we couldn't meet as churches, we did a great job of connecting online and all that. But there is something that has gone on that's wanted to isolate you, get you alone, and get you in a place where you feel like you're all by yourself and you know, the weight of the world's on your shoulders. But really, we are called to gather. We're called to make sure we gather large, we gather small. And I love some 68 verse 6, it says, God places the lonely in families, he sets the prisoners free, and he gives joy, but he makes the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. You know, sometimes we're too proud to meet. Who's met that person? Well, I'd come to church, but it's full of hypocrites. Anyone heard that? This is not the real light answer, but this is what we think. Well, it's great that you're not coming, because if you were there, there'd be one more hypocrite. But sorry, I've told you naughty things. Here's the thing about hypocrites in church. Hello? We're all hypocrites. We all say one thing and do another at different times, don't we? The reason that we stand, the reason that we can gather, is not because we've got everything right and everything lines up. It's because of the grace of God. It's because we are saved and set free and we've been adopted into a family in spite of our rubbish and our mistakes and all those things. You know, none of us have got it together. And yes, there will be people that in church life that they say one thing and do another. That's humanity. But guess what? If you are in the body of Christ, if you have been saved, the Bible talks about the fact that your salvation is not a one-time experience. It's that you are being saved. And we are transformed. How? From glory to glory. In other words, it's a journey. It's a process. My encouragement is, if you muck up, if you make a mistake, or even if somebody else says something stupid, let's commit to the journey. Let's continue to gather, because together through Christ, we are transformed from glory to glory. Come on, let's make sure that's where we go. And the thing about gathering is that when we gather, there is something special about the presence of God when we gather together. And we so need the presence of God at the moment. Right back to the creation story where, you know, where the earth was formless and void, and it says the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And what happened next is God spoke. And he said, let there be light. And there was. And then it says he separated the light from the day, and he got day and night. And the voice of God, and we need this right now, the voice of God does some significant things. The first thing You know, God said it was good. The voice of God brings goodness into your situation and your scenario. The voice of God actually brings light. When God spoke, he said, let there be light, and there was. The other thing, I won't ask for hands. But life can feel out of control sometimes, can't it? You see, the voice of God also brings order. He said it was day and it was night and there was weeks and there were years and all those things, order came with the voice of God. And you know, there's so much stuff going on at the moment. We need to gather. We need the presence of God. We need to hear the voice of God, because that voice will change everything. And we've got to grow. We've got to grow in depth, capacity, and size. And together and individually, we're committed to growth. What's growth look like? Well, it's as simple as this. Each day, we've got to keep taking another step towards God's purpose for our lives. We're not going to get it together in one go. We just keep taking a step. We keep walking. And there are some days we'll take some backward steps. There are some days we'll go there. But in the grand scheme of things, if you just keep walking, you will be discipled. And we've got to do that together. We've got to grow in depth. We've got to grow in capacity. We've got to grow in a capacity to be able to receive. Whose life is big enough so that you can actually receive and bring more people and more things into your world? Wow. You know what we've done this weekend, our family? This is what it's looked like this weekend. Alex decides she's going to play a tennis tournament this weekend. She also decides that after 30 years of not playing hockey, that she would start playing hockey again this weekend. We had futsal Friday night. And then boys play hockey yesterday. Alex plays hockey yesterday. Alex plays tennis yesterday morning. And then Cody's got futsal training this afternoon. And then Alex is playing a tennis tournament. Now, you might say, that life's a little bit full. Perhaps it is for this weekend. But my prayer is that we have the capacity in all that we do to actually allow people to be part of our world. See, while we're in all those places, we've got the capacity to actually, if we're Spirit-led, we've actually got the capacity to have those God conversations along the way. We've got the capacity to reach people and love people and talk about things. And, you know, and I could actually share that with you from this weekend. I've had, you know, all sorts of conversations in the middle of busyness. What I'm saying is we've got full lives, and sometimes we do have to cut things out, but we've got to grow in capacity so that the only thing that we're doing is not just surviving. Not just, you know, you will have weekends where it's like, oh, gee, I just had to get through that weekend or that time or that season. But let's understand we've got to grow in capacity so that we're not living beyond the margins. So we have actually got room to include. We've got to do that as individuals. We've got to do that as a church. We've got to grow. We've got to grow in our depth, and we've got to grow in discipleship. We've got to understand, you know, some of the keys. And this year we will continue to we'll do that in our connect groups, but we'll also do that in courses and things like that enable you to actually go a bit deeper. So that's where we're going with that. So right now, reach. We talked a lot about that already, at reaching our community. What does that look like? So Pastor Chris, come and join us and share some of the strategy around reach at the moment. So thanks, guys.
Hello, church, this morning. Hello. Shalom. Come on, we just hear from Pastor Dave. Come on, shalom. Shalom. Oh, shalom. I'd like to invite my team, some of our volunteers who has been volunteering for the Reach team. So why don't you grab your, bring your seats and let's talk about Reach. Okay, as they're getting ready, I just want to share something what happened in yesterday, actually. Brian was there. And I have been the sports chaplain for our cricket team, right? And this Captain Dulaj, he said, like, I spoke to Dave on the phone as well. He just came in. I have been talking to him and his partner. And they want to get married. And they want to get married. And they want me to do their ceremony. So since I don't have the license, I spoke Pastor Dave. I have been talking to them like a couple of years now, preparing them. And they will be coming to this church. So that's, and they want to get married and follow Jesus. They are coming from a Buddhist background. They're Buddhist background, and but they want to be part of this church and get married. So it was a great influence for me. And when I heard this, I rang Pastor Dave and said, like, can we do this? Then Pastor Dave said, yes, we can do it. So that's one of the highlights for me on yesterday, being on the cricket ground and talking to these boys who are coming. Oh yeah, we won the game. So so we have been playing. We are playing for 5 years in the fifth grade, but we select for the first grade this year. So we won the grand final. So it was a big opportunity for our boys. They have been working so hard, and I am being humble enough to be part of these boys and talking to them and encouraging them. It was a wonderful day for us. Brian had the privilege to come for the after party, and we had a wonderful time. So, yeah. So let's talk about reach. So first of all, these are the areas like for this year, my vision for reach. Like, we have school reach and sports reach and DV reach, Muna reach, and youth and uni reach, right? So I have a couple of people sitting, going to speak about in their daily life what they have been doing to reach. So first of all, like, I want you to guys to introduce yourself. Chrissy, if you can begin and introduce yourself, and then let's talk about what you do being part of school reach. Yes.
Oh, hi, I'm Chrissy Knight. I'm the school chaplain at Goodwood Primary, and work with a lot of kids that are disadvantaged and marginalised. And when I heard the Reach team looking for places to hold community events, I'm like, oh, well, that is right in our area. And it's taken a while to get a meeting to have the event happen. So that was fourth term, we couldn't get a meeting. This term, we got a meeting, and then it's like, oh, maybe it's too busy and we don't want to have it in winter, or maybe third term, and I'm like, no. And I got out my calendar, I'm like, we've actually got Easter, we've got 2 weeks holidays, the kids are going to be bored. They're, you know, what about the 23rd of April? And the principal was like, oh, do we have it in other schools? Do you do? And I'm like, oh, yes, they're doing a few things in other schools, but we actually haven't done a community event. So it's sort of new, and I think this is a great, I think it's going to be really successful. And then we will be able to say to other schools and the other school chaplains, this is what we've done. We're making connections in our community. And, you know, would you like to have one in your school? And so this is, this is sort of start, this is the start.
Start, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I should share this story or not, but on Friday, there's like this little, three little people bring themselves to school. They sometimes get there by recess. They have to get themselves there. And then there was another child that was like, oh, I've got to be picked up at 2 o'clock. I can't go back into class after lunch. And so I said, oh, it's a long time to sit in the office. Why don't we just go down to the garden and see if we can harvest something for the Harmony Day next week? And he said yes, which was good. That was, and I'm down. I'm like, oh, why do you have to go early? Oh, I have to have I get to talk to my dad on Skype or something. He's in prison. And so he couldn't go back to class, he couldn't concentrate. And there's a few kids like that too. There's a lot of trauma, and I'm really excited that you guys are going to be able to bless this event. So thank you.
Fantastic, Chrissy.
Thanks, Chrissy.
You can really hear Chrissy's heart, can't you? She's got such a beautiful heart for the kids, and it's amazing. And as I was thinking about what to share today, it's very much about God opportunities. You know, we can think about, you know, coincidence, and but where has God placed us? And many of you will know that I've been involved in a few events within our church. And we don't just want to do an event at the Goodwood Primary School. We want to do something that's going to connect with our community and have a long-lasting effect. And we want to be praying. So now's the time beforehand to be praying for those God connections to happen. We were talking before service, and we're just talking about the school and sort of, you know, the things that we need to tie together. This is a great opportunity for us as a church to be light and to show a school that really needs community how to do community, because they really want it, but sometimes they're not quite sure how to draw it all together. So we can actually create a space for that for them. So I just want to give you a few things that you can be doing in the lead up to the event and at the event, so ways that you can be involved. First of all, pray. Pray for the team as we get together. Pray for the school. Pray for the kids. Pray for the weather. Pray for God connections to happen. You can help with promotion. So as things start to come out, as we do posters, as we create a Facebook event, share it with your people and get people excited about coming. Now, in a practical way, as Chrissy mentioned about, there's a lot of issues in the school and needs. We want to actually bless the community. So we're putting together a large family hamper that will be done as a raffle. But we want the right family to get it, not just coincidence, so let's be praying for that. But to put this big hamper together, we want to make it luscious and the things that a family needs, so all the goodies. So if you can help with that. So we thought about a few things. We thought, yes, we could all bring food in, but then we might get lots of pasta and not enough soup and, you know, it's all hard. So in a practical way, if you can all bring a gift voucher of, say, $5, $10, $20 for Woolies or Coles, then we will go out and shop, get some bargains and fill up a big hamper. Does that sound like fun? The more that we get, the better, because we don't just want food. We want to actually use some of those vouchers. They can actually then get their own fresh veggies and meat and things like that as well, things that you can't put in the hamper. And then on the day, you can join the Reach team. So you can join the Reach team for the day. We're getting T-shirts together, aren't we, Chris? They're going to look amazing just to help identify you as a team. And the job on the day isn't busy, because Chrissy's been doing an amazing job pulling the event together, getting food vans and working with the school council and different things like that. So on the day, it'll be handing out programs, connecting with people and just praying for those God conversations. Is that something you can do? Yeah. So let's do it. Let's do it together.
All right, thanks, Lizzie. Thanks. That's wonderful. Brian, why don't you introduce yourself and talk about how you have been influencing some of the kids in the school and your testimony about one of the kids you were talking to him and how he changed his life.
Yeah, so I'm Brian. Thanks, Grant. I've been you know, going into Hobart City High since last year, you know, helping at the breakfast program, feeding over 60 boys that would turn up to just because they may not have breakfast in the morning, they may not have time, their families may not be, you know, financially stable to be able to provide a breakfast. So I've been there, you know, providing, helping, serving the breakfast, even just, you know, going around, just talking to the boys, because at that time they weren't kind of together, the campuses. So, so it's been really, really cool. And plus, during the day, we just hang out with the boys that generally don't want to go to class. They just potentially may just want to get out of class. But But we're there just hanging out with them, you know, so they just, we're building relationships. We're not judging them on anything that they're doing, anything that, you know, that they tell us, that we're not being judgmental. We're just there, we're, you know, we've just been there just to listen to them. You know, one thing, you know, one, like Chris said, one of the guys that has really, you know, stuck in my mind is, you know, his family are pressuring him, because it could be a cultural thing. His family are pressuring him to the point where he's become very, you know, a lot of self-harm. All he wants to do is, he's got that much pressure that he just wants to get a pair of scissors every 5 seconds and go and cut himself. But so we've been, you know, I've been able to be there just to listen to him, be someone that, you know, he's never had before. He's never had someone that actually wants to listen to him. And yeah, it's been really, really cool. And yeah, if anyone has got that heart for the boys and the girls down at Hobart City, I recommend it. If you don't feel that you can do it, if you're driving past, start praying for the campuses. Start praying for the boys and the girls. They need it. You know, some of the stories that I've heard from the girls' side of stuff too. You know, the girls need it just as much as the boys. So yeah, keep them in your prayers. If you feel like you want to get involved, talk to Chris, talk to myself, and we'll be happy to answer any questions you have. So yeah.
Yeah, so one of the ways, like, you could be volunteer, as you see on the screen, like, you can still come as a volunteer for the breakfast club, or you can stay after the breakfast club and just hang around with the kids or the girls, because it's a mixed school now. It's boys and girls together this year, so you can just hang around. There are plenty of opportunities when you hear, like, these kids needs somebody to listen to their story. So you can be a light on that, just to listening to that story, that how you can change their lives. They need good people who sit down and listen to their story. That's what they don't have in their families. So that's why being a light, being a bearer of light, you can show the light being sitting down and listening to the story. So if you want to be part of that, just come and talk to me or talk to Brian as well. So, yeah. Then this is one of the things, like, I'm really happy to say about what's happening in DV. So, Leonie, why don't you introduce yourself and talk about what's your influence in the DV and the Valley?
Well, I'm Leonie, if you don't know. Yes, I know. We've had many opportunities up in the DV. We've got the building up there. And since COVID, we haven't had our services. We've had our prayer meetings up there, but not our services. And the building's been there, but we know that we are a light in the Derwent Valley. And that building, it's not darkness. There is light coming out of that building constantly. And we've had many opportunities. Last year, we actually had New Norfolk High School run their program through that building. And we've been able to reach so many people. And I just want to share a little bit of the report that they actually provided us of some testimonies. So the project started with 9 students. And by the end of the year, it was supported by 21 students. And out of those students, they were only there 2 to 3 times a week. And out of those students, there was 19.5% increase of engagement in learning. So that the students that are actually there are ones that can't actually be in a school environment for various reasons. So one testimony of one girl, Year 10 female student, she was highly disengaged, and also there was a order that she wasn't allowed to be on the school grounds. And she was 35 weeks pregnant. And they actually had the program, so she was actually going to the program, and she was attending every single day up to her pregnancy, and then after that continued on. And she actually, the teachers at the end of the year, they were so impressed. She actually completed more work in that 12 months than she had done in the 2 to 3 years prior. And there was another Year 8 student who was, their learning ability was over year 3 to 4 year level of schooling. And by the end of the year, she was up to the year seven level. Because she got that in one-on-one engagement that the that program provided. Now, we've got... they're not actually using the building this year, but I've actually kept those opportunities open to the school and said, whenever you need us, we're there because we are the light there. So we've not only got that, but also a lot of relationships with the Derwent Valley PCYC. And I've had quite a few meetings with them, and they've got me involved in their PCYC program up there as well. But I don't see it as an extra thing. I see it as an opportunity for us to share what we're doing in the community and actually sharing the light. And they don't realise, but I'm actually sharing the word with them, but not in Bible verses, but in the way Jesus does. I've had some opportunities of actually them contacting me and going to different business meetings up there. So I've been talking to a lot of businesses up there and just introducing ourselves, because they never saw the building. They used to remember years ago, and we've had Santa's workshop that they had there a few years ago at Christmas time, and I've been able to go up to, I get invited every year to the International Women's Breakfast up there, and with those opportunities I get to talk to the business people, and there's been a few times I've been up there during the week, and I just go around the businesses and just pop in, because I like to say hello and just say, oh, because they always ask, oh, so where are you from? I said, well, actually, we have a church up here. I don't know if you realise, but in 19 Circle Street, just around the corner there. So it all starts with conversations, because we know that it's not what we say, it's passes on. And we've also got another opportunity. They're looking at doing a community pantry up there. So I'm looking at some business, you know, some partnerships with that too. But no matter what partnership we do, it always makes sure it goes back to the vision of the church, that we just don't form partnerships for the sake of forming partnerships. We're doing it because it's the vision and what we want to sow for the love of that community.
Thanks, Leona. That's great. Yeah, so as you see on the screen, so she has been talking about the strategic partnership, so we have been doing a lot. And another way you can do is prayer. Just pray for the valley. I mean, there's no... Carla might know about most, like Carla joined us sometime for our prayer meeting, and she was sharing one of the prayer meetings about her involvement with the prayer, and she's always praying for the Derwent Valley, and also John and Lydia, they are being part of the prayer team as well. I mean, we need a lot of prayer. I mean, as they were sharing this morning, I had shalom in my heart, because the society needs light, and that one of the areas is the Derwent Valley. They are in so much of darkness. So as a church, we can be a light, and we are strategically, we have a building there for us to do that. So keep on praying for the Derwent Valley, and if you like to be part of the prayer meetings on fortnightly, please join us to pray for the community as well. And another thing which I have mentioned here is we are going to have another community event which is called Winterfest, which is to make connection to the community. There is a lot of connection which I have made with the Derwent Valley, with the different organizations, but they want something from the church. I think they are waiting for us to be out there and do something for them. So they also, although they are in darkness, they see a light in our church. So let's do this Winterfest event and make connections. I think that's the starting point for us, for our church as well. So if you like to be part of that, come and talk to me or talk to Lizzie if you want to be part of that Winterfest event as well. All right. So I have another person with me. Let's talk about sports reach. So why don't you introduce yourself, Jeff, and talk about how did you help our church to influence the sports, the cricket club, and the way that you influence some of the cricketers when you are doing the barbecue and all that. So.
Okay, I'm going to tell you about a day at the cricket and what actually happens. And the first wonderful thing that occurs is after we've been and done the shopping for the last minute, you know, the fresh sausages and the fresh eggs and the fresh bread, etc., we arrive at the cricket and the cricketers all come out and they unload everything off the ute and help us set it all up, you know, all these healthy young Sri Lankan guys, and there's laughter and there's fun and joking and etc. So the scene is set for a really enjoyable day. And then we get started and we start, you know, cooking the sausages. Now, the Sri Lankan boys that don't eat meat like to eat eggs. So we do a piece of bread with a hole in the middle of it, and then we cook an egg in it with a little bit of oil and a little bit of olive oil, and that's very, very popular. And then, you know, they don't all arrive at one moment wanting something to eat. You know, they sort of spread out over the day. So it's not a difficult task at all. And what that means is that one person can be there cooking the food and serving the people, and the other two volunteers, let's say Chris and Brian, can be talking to the people. Now, there's a large number of people that come and walk through the cricket ground, walking their dogs or going to do things with their children, and they stop by. And we'll give them, you know, we'll give them food as well, and so there are opportunities to make a connection. So the cricket itself is very entertaining, and the social aspects are absolutely wonderful because the cricket team genuinely appreciate what's being done. And they, you know, smother us with their love and appreciation of what we're doing at the cricket. So the light is burning at the cricket. Now, it could be expanded. Okay. Not everyone can commit to do the 8 Saturdays up front in the year. So we really need to have a rota. You know, a roster of people that are prepared to come along and do the cricket. And Chris will be able to quite soon tell us all of the dates of the cricket. And then we can get, you know, if we had 9 or 10 people that could all share it. But I can assure anyone that wants to come and do the cricket with us that it will be really enjoyable. They'll love it. And at the time of cleaning up, you know, this is always a difficult time, but the boys from the cricket team come and lift everything and put it in the ute and they take away the rubbish. it is really, you know, a very, very enjoyable thing to do. So, we need more volunteers that can just commit for one Saturday or for 2 Saturdays and do that work. Okay.
Thanks, Jeff. That's great. I think one of the things we did last time, like most of our boys, as you know, Sri Lanka is a country which is heavily influenced by Buddhism. So they know only the Catholic Church. They don't know about the Pentecostal churches or Anglican churches. They don't know. So when we went there, the boys started to asking about, like, they already know me, but they didn't know Jeff. Then they asked Jeff, are you part of a church or something? They started to ask that question straight away because they see that there is a church coming in and care for them. And that's one of the ways you can be a light, just being there. Just being there, and they will come and talk to you. Sri Lankans are very good in having a friendly conversation, right? These boys, they want to get to know the local people, and that's why I think last year when we had the Father's Day, all the cricket boys, they came here because of what we did in at the barbecue. We just started talking, and they want to see more. Like, if you want to be part of that. Just, as Jeff was saying, you don't have to commit like the whole Saturdays. Just be there for two hours. And you will see how amazed these cricketers are. And you can be an influence for them. And you can be a light to them. I mean, it's a journey. This is the start, as Leonie was saying, you can do as a social worker and do all that, but being a church is different. We are showing the light, what is truth, which is the Christ. So they will come to that. But this is our strategic way that God has shown us this church to influence the community. So you can be that. You can be that. So thanks, guys. Thanks for sharing. Sure.
I forgot to mention the matter of sponsorship. Now, imagine all of these things that the Reach team is doing. Remember that we stand alone from the church in terms of funding. And there are grants that come in, and at the moment, you know, we're spending a grant to do these things. But if a small business wanted to sponsor the cricket, for example, it would just be a couple of $100 for a match, or a bit more, if they wanted to do an entire season. Now, as the sponsorship would probably go to all of the Reach activities that do become larger and require a bit more. But, if we can get sponsorship for these things, we can actually increase the volume. You know, we could have more than one cricket team, and we could have your church at two cricket grounds on a Saturday. We probably, as far as volunteers, if we had some church ambassadors that would talk to businesses in our community and seek sponsorship. So that's it, Chris.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thank you so much for being here. Yes. I need to finish a couple of things. I think I didn't mention about some of the things we are doing with the youth. So let me just briefly share about the youth, if that's okay with you guys. So we have been doing Youth Alpha series, and we started a new series called Life Essentials. And I want to share a testimony what happened last Friday. We were talking about the big idea about stress. There's a particular girl who came on Friday. She's new to our youth group, and she opened her heart and shared some of the struggles that she's going through in her life. She's on the first Friday, and she started to share what she's going through with our group. I think it was amazing, the way that God sometimes works with the people around in the youth group. So you can be part of youth. For instance, you can come on a Friday and just prepare for a meal for these kids who are coming there. You can be a volunteer, or you can be part of the leadership team. You can be a volunteer. So also you can be coming in the morning on the Friday night and just be a welcomer, just to welcome these kids and just hang around. And so that's what you can do for the youth. One last thing. This is another area that I want to talk to you about, UniReach. UniReach is influencing some of the migrant, the international students who are coming into to Tasmania, very especially to UTAS. So last year, I was able to connect with the Sri Lankan students. Once again, I was very much influencing most of the Sri Lankan community, and they want to be part of there as a chaplain for the Sri Lankan students. So what you can do there is, if you like to provide them accommodations, or sometimes they struggle with the food, and you can do you can give or donate a food voucher. Then we can give the food voucher for them and to buy their things, because once they come in here, they struggle with sometimes with the money, with the fees that they have for the university. And another thing is what they are struggling with, the loneliness, because they don't have family here, and they need to get to know some of the locals in the community. So, and the other way you can do is just to pray for them, because as you know, the Sri Lanka is really struggling, and these students come there and their parents are spending a lot of money to come here and finish their studies. And you can pray for these families, like they will have a shalom, a peace for Sri Lanka. So if you want to be part of that, just come and talk to me, and I think that's what I need to share. Sorry it took so much of time, and thank you once again, and we can do this, guys. We can do this. Thanks.
And just give Chris and the team a hand. What they shared, so lots and lots of opportunity. I'm sorry we've gone a little bit over this morning. I probably spoke too long. But let's not let that take away from what the calling is and the opportunity. Where we're at now is when we look at our community, it's actually the opportunities are massive. And we've tried to bring it down to things that we can get involved with. And what we're putting out the challenge is let's all decide that we want to take a step of faith. I believe everybody could say, you know what, I can volunteer. I can volunteer 2 hours a week, you know, in the midst of things. And just start praying and thinking about how you can engage. And, you know, you will get a lot out of that, but also what we promise to do is we want to respect you in that. You know, we want to respect that people are busy and there's time and capacity, so we want a culture of respect. And integrity, where you know, we say, well, we will be, respect your time, and there will be integrity about what we do and the way we treat our volunteers. What you'll get out of that is you'll find family, you'll find love, and you'll find purpose. So be thinking and be praying about that. But remember, you are the church. And I just want to finish right now, and we're going to stand and we're going to sing. But all this that we're talking about this morning, you know, lots of strategy and reaching a community, the most important question I can ask right now, is where are you at with Jesus? Where are you at with Jesus? You see, it's not sitting in a church that makes you right with God. It's not doing enough right things. It's actually just about accepting the most amazing gift that's ever been given in the universe. That a God, a loving God, who is, he's not angry with you, he's not wanting to punish you, he's not wanting to see you put down, he actually wants to see you lifted up. And if you have never experienced the love and the acceptance of a God who doesn't want to punish you, he doesn't want to make you feel bad, he doesn't want to make you feel guilty, but you know, that stuff that we feel, that is a result of the world that we live in. That is a result of what the Bible calls sin. That's a result of turning our back on what God has for us, that will push you down. It will ultimately destroy you. But if you want to be set free from that, if you've never said, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you came and you died for me so that weight can be lifted from your life, so that you can lay your head down on the pillow tonight and you can know without a shadow of a doubt that you're right with God, and whatever happens, you're going to be with him for eternity. Like I said, it's not coming to church, it's not going to Bible studies, it's not doing enough right things. It's just opening your heart and believing. Because the Bible said it is actually believing in Jesus that makes you right with God. And not just believing, but accepting that he died for you and that he would forgive your sins. So right now, just as we finish the service, if you've never been able to do that, you've never come to a point of saying, I want to get my life right with God, I want to accept Jesus. And we just bow our heads, close our eyes just for a moment. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray a very simple prayer. But that prayer is supernatural, it is life-changing, and it will set you free. And that prayer is just saying, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you died for me, and I am sorry for my sin. I'm sorry for my part in humanity's brokenness. But right now, I invite you into my heart, and from this day forward, I'm going to follow you. And if you've never done that, or maybe you've done that once, but you're feeling far from God right now, why don't you just lift your hand, say, hey, Dave, if you're online, send us a message. Say, hey, Dave, I need to be included in that prayer. I want to pray that prayer. If that's you, just give me a wave right where you are. I'm not asking you to sign up to a club. I'm not asking you to give money. I'm not asking you to even join a church. I'm asking you to respond to an amazing love, the love of Jesus Christ. If that's you, just give me a quick wave. Say, hey, Dave, I need to do that this morning. Awesome, awesome. All right, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you love me so much that you would die for me. Right now, I open my heart to you and I invite you into my life. I am sorry for my sin. From this day forward, I choose to follow me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for setting me free. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Well, come on, let's stand and let's sing as we go. Adventures are on Saturday. Where are you going, Carla? The adventurers are going to Richmond. So, all right. 10:30 here Saturday. If you want to be part of the adventurers, going to Richmond. Awesome. Come on, let's go out praising God. Have a fantastic week. If you need prayer, I believe there are people here that might need healing this morning. Come, and we're going to pray for you as we finish this morning. God bless.